Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for coming this evening to our Sunday festival program. Just one quick announcement. If there are any kids that need to run around and have some fun, please, you're invited to go outside and run around and to your heart's content until you put holes in your shoes. You're welcome to run around out there and have some fun. But we asked if you need to be inside here, please be very attentive. Because when we talk about the words of Lord Krishna, it's not something that we take very lightly. It should be something done with great awe and reverence. Because Krishna has been so kind as to come to us in the form of Bhagavad Gita, and he's been so kind to send us his pure devotee, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, to explain it to us. So, best that we pay close attention. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Takshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Shvabadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jujapata Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganam Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karano Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Shabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpadru Vyastaki Pasindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this evening we were going to be, again, thank you very much for coming. We know it's, for some people it's a good chunk of time out of their week, out of their day to come and participate in this Sunday program. So the temple does try its best to make you comfortable. Of course, it's always worth it to come and see their lordships. Considering that we have to spend so much time out there in the world dealing with so many worldly things, it's sometimes difficult to focus ourselves on what our prime duty is in life. And the prime duty in the human form, at least, is self-realization. Is to understand how we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And again, when you're surrounded by the material energy as we are, it's very difficult. And there are so many distractions, so it's good that we can break away and come and take advantage of that valuable association. It's not to say that the devotees, a devotee, is not also having to deal with that same energy that anyone else is dealing with. No, that would be incorrect. We're all trying to, we're all struggling with the material energy to some degree. But without a doubt, when you're in good association, it makes one much stronger. It's just common sense. If you associate with people who are interested in doing business, you become a businessman. if you associate with those who are interested in building, then you'll want to be a builder. And if you want to associate with those who are interested in spiritual life, spiritual practice, then you'll become a spiritualist. It's just common sense. So this evening we're going to be discussing from the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And I take it everyone knows what Bhagavad Gita is. Anyone here that doesn't? Everyone has a copy, right? Yes. Good. It's the most important book on the bookshelf. We can have so many things out there, but the most important book is the Bhagavad Gita, or the Word of God. So this evening we're going to be discussing from the 18th chapter and the last part of the 18th chapter. And it's a very important verse, but just to give a little intro or a little preamble into what the Lord is speaking here in tonight's verse, we'll just recap a few verses earlier. In this section of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna is winding up his instructions to Arjuna. And he tells Arjuna, istosi me dridham iti, that I'm speaking to you because you're my dear friend. And this is important to understand, that one has to be qualified to receive the instructions of the personality of Godhead. Just like in any walk of life, to get ahead, so to speak, you have to be qualified, right? If you want to be a good businessman, you have to know the ins and outs of business, and then you can be successful. So the way to get ahead in spiritual life and Krishna consciousness is to what? Be a friend of Krishna. And Krishna says that in the 64th verse or something like that. 60, I believe it was the 65th or... Yeah. Sarva guhyata mam bhuya shrinu me paramam vacha. He says, because you are my dear friend, I am speaking to you. And he's speaking to Arjuna for his own good. And that's also very important, that when Krishna speaks, it's for our good. It's not that he's wasting words. What do they say in society? Mincing words? People like to mince words. In other words, they don't want to really get to the point when it's necessary. When the urgency is there, it's best to get straight to the point. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna here, and he's speaking to him for his benefit. Of course, his benefit also applies to us. In this whole conversation, it's not that Krishna is just speaking to Arjuna and we can listen to the conversation. It's pretty cool. It's pretty nice. It makes a lot of sense. And then we go about our way. No, it means us as well. So Krishna is speaking here for our benefit. And he tells Arjuna that, first of all, you need to become my devotee. And if you meditate upon me, offer your respects to me, manmanabhava madbhakto, prati jane priyosi me. Krishna explains, mam evaishasi satyam te prati jane priyosi me, that if you do like that, then you'll come to me. And why would we want to do that? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he resides in the spiritual world, which is complete. It's free from anxiety. It's free from the threefold miseries. So anyone in their right mind would want to go there. Anyone in their right mind would want to go there. It's just like if you have the opportunity to travel and somebody offers you a bicycle and somebody else offers you a plane ticket, anyone in their proper state of mind would take the airplane because you heard it and get to your destination and you can take advantage of it. So Krishna is telling Arjuna here that if you worship me and you offer your respects to me, then you'll come to me without fail. And then he tells Arjuna that you have to give up everything. Now that's a tall order that someone is asking. Well, if you really want to know me, if you want to associate with me, then you have to be willing to give up everything. And that's a challenge, especially for the marginal energy, which we are part and parcel of Krishna. Although we're part and parcel of Krishna, Mayavangso Jivalok, Krishna explains that we're eternally part and parcel of him. It may be a tall order for us to surrender. But Krishna says that if you do that, then you'll come to me, I guarantee it. And then he tells Arjuna that this understanding is not something that just anyone can appreciate. Right? Idam tena tapaskaina bhaktaya karach. And he tells Arjuna that there are different individuals that just won't get it. Unfortunately. But later on, we'll hear tonight's verse that there is an opportunity for them, even such persons. So then he says that that person who understands this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti, and then explains it, yaidam paramam guyam mad bhaktesha vidhashati, that if he goes out and explains this philosophy to the conditioned souls, to those who are struggling in this material world with birth, death, old age, and disease, then that person is very, very dear to me. He's very special. And just like, if someone has a business and you have an employee that goes out and he's canvassing for your company, you really appreciate it. You do something for that person, right? You give him some perks. You give him a nice car to get around, or you give him a nice office, or you give him a raise, whatever. So Krishna also appreciates it greatly when the surrendered devotee risks going out and distributing Krishna consciousness, giving it and making it available for those who are in need. And for that matter, who's not in need? Everyone's in need. And such a person becomes very intimate and very close to the personality of Godhead. Krishna very much appreciates it. And then tonight's verse, Krishna says, Shradavan anashuyascha shinuyad api yo nara sopi mukta subhalokan prapnuyat punya karmanam. Krishna says, and one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So it's very important, certainly, to make it available, to present this knowledge to a person. But it's most important that we hear it. More than anything else, it's important that we hear, because hearing is most important. Shravanam Kirtanam. The bhakti process begins with hearing. If we don't hear right, then how can you do a good kirtan? Right? How can you repeat? If you don't hear, then how can you speak? You can't. So it begins by hearing. And hearing, of course, is very difficult, because we are conditioned in so many different ways. But Krishna is explaining here that one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions. There's a great reward for someone who listens properly. And here Krishna is telling us that he becomes free from sinful reactions. The Brahma Samhita explains, Karmani Nirdhati Kintu Chapakti Vajam, that in the material world, everyone is engaged in a karmic activity. Be it pious or impious, it's all bad, because it means repetition of birth and death. It's all bad. Even I may be a very pious person, I'm giving to charitable foundations, or I'm helping planting the trees, or doing this or that, saving the frogs in the Amazon. You're doing so many things for humanity, etc. It's karmic. If it has no relationship with the personality of Godhead, it's karmic. It means that you have to come back. So there's a reaction. So Krishna's explaining here that if one listens to this philosophy, this knowledge, properly, in the proper state of mind, then one becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. Purport. In the 67th verse of this chapter, this purport is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class. And in that class, not all these students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? Very good question. It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such persons hear from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions, and after that attain to the planetary system where all righteous persons are situated. Therefore, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activities. That is so powerful. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. Generally, those who are free from sinful reactions, those who are righteous, very easily take to Krishna consciousness. The word punya karmanam is very significant here. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices like the Ashvamedha Yajna mentioned in the Vedic literature. Those who are righteous in performing devotional service but who are not pure can attain the planetary system of the pole star or Dhruva Loka, where Dhruva Maharaj is presiding. He is a great devotee of the Lord, and he has a special planet which is called the pole star. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padasaya Budale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastatari Shatarine. So Srila Prabhupada begins by pointing out that in the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. And we mentioned that verse, idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya karachana na cha shushushave vacham na cha mam yobhashuyati. So, the Lord is saying in this verse that this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere, devoted, or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. And practically, Krishna says it earlier in the 7th chapter also, right? Namam duskritina mudha prabhadyante naradama mayaya pritta jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. He says the same thing in this verse in a different way. Very nicely, just perfectly put. The idea is that, first of all, those who are not austere. Austere means that those who have never attempted devotional service in Krishna consciousness. In other words, just like the mudhas, their purpose in life. We should go first by the Lord's Srila Prabhupada's translation of the verse. First of all, those who are not austere. Austerity is very important in spiritual practice. And, in other words, control of the senses. One has to learn how to control the desire for eating anything, taking intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, speculation. Controlling the senses, it's necessary. The Vedic literatures describe that when one learns how to, and Krishna also says earlier, yuktahara vihara se yuktachetasa karma su, that by controlling and regulating these habits, controlling the senses, regulating the habits of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and developing this quality of austerity, one can experience can gradually come to the mode of goodness and gradually be fit to understand spiritual subject matter. But the mudhas, those who are just living licentiously, they're doing anything and anything, anytime, anywhere, just like the animals, it's not possible for them to understand this philosophy. It's like animal life, in other words. We have two-legged animals, and we also have four-legged animals. So one who is living like that without any kind of control, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam, one has to learn how to control all of these, the speaking, the tongue, the belly, the genitals. All these things have to be controlled in order for one to progress properly in spiritual life. So Krishna is explaining here that that one has to be austere or devoted. Just like there are so many persons who follow no religious principles. In the Vedic literatures we have the Manu Sanghita, which gives us very basic principles of civilized life. So, again, there are persons who are not aware of living in a civilized way, eating anything and cheating, and just like now we're studying a very nice section in the Bhagavatam of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu's life is a very good example of this uncontrolled enjoyment. And he was very determined to teach that same lifestyle to his son Prahlad. But Prahlad, being a devotee of the Lord and having had the good association of Narada Muni, was not interested. And as you can see here, this is what happened to Hiranyakashipu. So, human life, to understand again, spiritual subject matter, means that one has to follow some kind of spiritual principles. There has to be some sort of religious principles. So Krishna is saying, those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service. Engaged in devotional service, we understand, is accepting the spiritual master. Following the regulative principles of devotional life according to instruction. But the Mayavadis, Maya Prithigyana, they have no interest in taking instruction. Instead, they make up their own ideas. It's all one. It's whatever you do is good. Whatever I do is good. We're all going to the same destination. But that may be. People who live like that, they are certainly going to the same destination. And it's not the spiritual world. Krishna is stating here that one should be engaged in devotional service. Nor to one who is envious of me, asuram bhavam ashrita, just like the demons, they have no interest, they're envious. So, Srila Prabhupada points out again here in this purport that the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita from being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees, but it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class. This is very interesting. And in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? Srila Prabhupada describes that answers that question. It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. Is it that the devotees are, when they hold open class, just like Srila Prabhupada is holding open class, he's giving us an opportunity to understand this philosophy. Just like when someone may come to the temple, it's an open class. It's available for anyone and everyone. So although the Lord is saying that this knowledge is not understandable or it shouldn't be presented, still the devotee is so merciful. And Lord Chaitanya is a prime example of that. And we'll talk about more in that area on Saturday when we talk about the appearance of Lord Nityananda. The devotee of the Lord is even more merciful and more lenient than the personality of Godhead. Although Krishna is saying that it's not understandable. Srila Prabhupada is making the point here that why do such persons hold open class? Is there some motivation? Are they motivated for name, fame? No. It's quite the contrary. Because they're keeping Bhavavidha Bhagavata Stirta Bhuta Swayam Bhivo. The Bhagavatam explains that because the devotees are keeping the personality within their personality of Godhead within their hearts, they don't have any other motive than to distribute this philosophy. There's no other interest. What is there to gain? Srila Prabhupada, again, is the best example that he had thousands of followers and admirers, so many temples, and could have gone here, gone there, done this, done that. His only interest was making Krishna consciousness available for those who are struggling with material life. Naivodvijay paradaratara vaitaranyas tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Prahlad Maharaj also makes this point that Prahlad was not interested in anything. Neither was he afraid of this material world. And who can say that? This material world is a very fearful place. People are very conscious of it, right? They have alarms, they have guns, they have electric wires, dogs, everything. Glass on the walls. It's like sometimes you may not see it here. It might be a liability, but you go to some places, like for instance in India, you go to some areas of the city. The walls have little glass pieces all along the top, isn't it? So that no one jumps the fence, jumps the wall. So everyone is conscious of the fear and the tension and the anxiety that is here within this world. Countries are arming themselves to the teeth, and as soon as somebody makes a move, their jets fly up in the sky and they're ready to go at it. So it's a very fearful place, but Prahlad Maharaj says that he's not at all fearful of this place. But his only anxiety is for those who are making elaborate plans. Maya sukaya bharam udbhato vimudhan. His only anxiety is for those who are making elaborate plans to enjoy within this material world. That's his only anxiety, his only fear. So the devotees of the Lord have no other motive but to share Krishna consciousness, to share the philosophy and the beauty of Krishna with the conditioned souls. So Prabhupada is making the point here that such devotees, they'll hold open class. Why? Because there still may be many who are not envious of Krishna. There may be someone who who can at least appreciate or doesn't have an opinion or may respect that, okay, this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By that association, by hearing from the proper person, again, we get back to the hearing, as the Lord says in the verse, one who listens with faith and envy and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions. It's just by that little bit of association, they may have just a moment of open-mindedness. That may be the moment that Krishna enters within their hearts, becomes a manifest. So, again, the devotees of the Lord, because they're fully absorbed, because we're hearing from the right source, which is also important, Prabhupada makes this point. If such a person hears from a bona fide devotee about the Lord, the result is that they become at once free from all sinful reactions, and after that attain to the planetary system where all righteous persons are situated. Just see the mercy of the devotees, paraduka duki, they're described, that they're willing to undergo whatever austerities are necessary to make Krishna consciousness available, to some or other give it to the conditioned souls. Therefore, simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not want or does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activities. Just see the power of hearing. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord gives everyone a chance to become free from all sinful reactions and to become a devotee of the Lord. And we understand that when one is freed from the dualities of delusion, as Krishna explains in the seventh chapter, Yeshun tuantagadam papam janana punya karmanam, that one is freed from these dualities of delusion and is engaged in a devotional service, or then engages in devotional service, having been having acted piously in this life and in previous lives. It's so important. And Prabhupada makes this point again. Generally, those who are free from sinful reactions, those who are righteous, very easily take to Krishna consciousness. The word punya karmanam is very significant. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices like the Ashvamedha Yajna. The Ashvamedha Yajna, we understand, is the horse sacrifice, where the animal would be put into a, led into a fire, and if the mantras were chanted properly to prove the efficacy of a certain brahmana and his mantras, the horse would come out rejuvenated. So these very elaborate sacrifices, obviously we're not capable of performing them in this day and age. But these things are there so that we can understand that the Vedic philosophy, Krishna consciousness, is real. There's some knowledge there. It's not just some sentimental idea or some mythology. No, it's genuine. And again, it those who are righteous in performing devotional service but who are not pure can attain the planetary system of the pole star or Dhruva Loka. So the Jagya are obviously for this age, the Kali Yuga, is the Sankirtan Yagya. In previous ages, Ashvamedha Yajnas or Gomedha Yajnas or elaborate altar worship or a meditation for hundreds and hundreds of years, certain persons were able to do it. But the recommended in the Kali Yuga, in this stage, is Nam Sankirtan, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, Parambijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The recommended process is chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is the, again, although Krishna's stating here in this verse that one has to be free from envy, the process has become more available in the Kali Yuga by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. Now we can understand that simply by chanting the holy name, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya, Sarva Papa Pranasanam, when Suta Goswami was speaking to the sages of Naimasharanya, he mentioned to them that the chanting of the holy names can relieve one from all sinful reactions. Sarva Papa Pranasanam. It relieves one of all sinful reactions. And by offering one's obeisances to the personality of Godhead, one is relieved of all material suffering. This process has been so nicely given that even the most unqualified persons who have, you know, again, no interest in spiritual life. There's very few people who are really interested in spiritual advancement in the Kali Yuga. People, the general mass of people are more interested in advancing in science and technology and materialism and sense kind of, it goes on and on and on. These things are simply entangling the conditioned souls further and further. So the Lord has made it very easy in this day and age by coming in the form of His holy name, and we simply have to take shelter of it. And and Krishna reveals Himself. So we'll read the verse again. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So are there any questions or comments? Yes. That was 1871. This is just before Krishna winds up or finally tells Arjuna, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? And then Krishna hands it over to Arjuna. Arjuna has to decide what he wants to do. So we all have certainly a similar choice. Krishna's so merciful to give us this philosophy, has made this process of self-realization, chanting the holy name, so easily available, so easy to practice. As Srila Prabhupada comments, there's no expenditure. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't. There's no strain. Actually, it becomes joyful, right? We all have that experience. When we're focused and we're engaged nicely, it becomes very joyful. And we have that choice. So Arjuna is also being given that choice, just as us. And the right choice, obviously, is taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna guarantees if you do like that, then I'll protect you. Yes, Prabhu. The reason for it to be fearful? So you can get the idea that this is not a safe place. Right? It's just like sometimes the kids go on, the school kids, they go on, what are these, field trips? Right? And sometimes they'll even take them to a very, I remember when I was growing up, I was in fifth grade, and our class went on a field trip. And we went to a slaughterhouse. And I remember from that point, seeing how the animals were being treated, it struck me so heavily. So Krishna is doing the same thing. He's created this world in such a way that you can't help but see. You have to be either a mudha, a naradama, a maya pritta jnana, or some asura not to understand it. Or you have to be envious of Krishna. And there are plenty of people who are envious of Krishna. When Krishna says that I'm the personality of Godhead, many people don't like that. So Krishna's showing the conditioned souls that this material world is a very fearful place. And even if you think that you're happy that, I have this very nice situation, or I have so many plans right around the corner, the reality is that all of that is going to end shortly. It all gets taken away in a flash. And before you know it, all it was just an illusion that I thought I was going to enjoy in this way or that way. So sometimes it takes something very traumatic, right? People drive along very happily in their cars, and then all of a sudden there's a near accident. You snap out of it. You're more attentive. So Krishna's doing that every single day. It's just that are we watching? Are we listening? Are we thinking about it? I remember one time we were in Chicago O'Hare Airport. This was a long time, some years back, before the airport closed to distribution inside, but we were distributing inside. And I was talking to some person, and all of a sudden I heard this commotion, and I turned around, and this big, heavy-set fella had just fallen down and was dead as a doornail. And all these people were walking around, standing around him, and, oh, my God, did you see what happened? And they were so shocked. But in reality, that's happening every moment. And we're just not paying attention to it. Every moment, with the setting of the sun, rising and setting of the sun, it's happening. But we're just not very attentive to it because we're so determined. It's just like, I remember, you ever see these worms that come out of the ground when the water gets, water table rises too high, the worms have to come out of the soil, right? So sometimes they'll be halfway out, and if you try and pull on the worm, it sticks, it doesn't want to come out, right? It just stretches like a rubber band until finally it snaps. So we're just like that. We just want to stay in this material world like anything, no matter what. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll make some plan and life will be good. Hiranyakashipu was like that also. He had so many wonderful plans, but it was all taken away in a heartbeat by Lord Nrisimhadev. So, we have a choice. If we're attentive, then we'll see the fearful condition that's all around us at every moment. But if we're not, we're determined to enjoy in this world or try to enjoy in this world, that's okay. Krishna gives you the facility until you figure it out. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.